UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150-939 is the number. 939 is the station. And people, I think it's going to be a fun reaction Monday. Always the Mondays are like my Saturdays. So sit back, relax, and make sure you know 8150-939 is the number. 3831-939 is the text line. Steve Rummage is on vacation. Brian Hall's in the booth.
The fans still want Steve, even though he's not here.
You can want Steve.
Okay,
you ain't got him.
Because you may get a dose of Steve a little bit later on. But in the meantime, you should just satisfy your taste buds with a little Brian Hall.
You are so low. You are
okay, how about now? How about now?
It's much better, better. Much better.
A little better now?
Come on, Brian. You've been on vacation a few too many times. Get that volume up.
Steve's not here, you know, so you're stuck with a low Brian Hall who doesn't turn his mic on and you can't really hear him. So there you go.
But we are here. I do wish we were here under the better circumstances. But all in all, I mean, you know, our teams.
My team yesterday had a rough day too. In case you didn't watch the Sunday night football game,
I did not.
You know, if Mike Zimmer would have just kicked a field goal, we wouldn't have lost in regulation. There was no possible way to lose in regulation. So did you watch the Sunday night game?
I did not watch the Sunday night game. I was watching Fargo and NBA highlights.
So basically the Vikings were up 26-21. So they were up by 5 points. They had a fourth and one from the 6 yard line. And decided to go for it as opposed to just kicking the field goal. They went for it. They didn't get the first down. If they had kicked the field goal, they would have went up by 8 points,
right?
Which would have meant that even if Seattle scored, they had to get the two-point conversion to send it to overtime. But we didn't get the first down. They marched down the field. They score a touchdown, and they win by one.
Okay, Brian, the statement you just made, the statement, your observation you just made, is really going to be much of the theme of today's show. Before I respond, I want to ask, before I respond to what you just said, I'm going to kind of set up the theme. And this is what I want people to know today. Now, I want people, this is just a theme. You don't necessarily have to identify this, but know, have this in your head. If you have an opinion on the game, if you have an opinion on a certain position, a certain player, a certain decision, I want to ask you the question. I'm going to ask you the question in my mind every time. Do you consider this critique, criticism, blame, or slander? Okay? Because those are usually...
So we're referring to us, you're going to name players and I'm going to tell you?
No. What I'm saying is if you have a particular opinion on the game, the change at kicker, right? I liked it. I hated it. You know, what's the coach doing? Switching kickers in the middle. See, now that's just slander. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's where you're just reaching for something. Oh, okay. Yeah. So every opinion, or it could be complimentary. You know what? I should have put that right in the front. Sorry.
So we got complimentary. We got slander.
Listen, complimentary, critique, criticize, blame, slander. Nice round five. So, yeah, you can definitely do it. You can do a little bit of them all. So here's what I want to say, Ryan. Now that everybody kind of knows the theme of the direction I'm going to go today, while we break it down, and we're definitely going to do grades, so everybody wants to stick around, be a part of the grading segment. Those are always good on Mondays. Brian Hall, Monday morning, Brian Hall, if he goes for it, if Zimmer goes for that and gets that first down, every fan loves an aggressive coach. And if he just gets a play action rollout tight end, he is the best coach who went for it and kept Russell Wilson on the side of the on the sidelines. And that's my Minnesota Vikings, baby. Like, I know Monday morning Brian Hall is pumped. But Brian Hall, what he would not have been doing is saying, man, you still should have took the 8 points, man.
You're right.
Like, there's no way you would do that, right?
You're right, but I did have a debate with my – so I was watching a game with a buddy, and I looked at him, and I was like, dude, I'd kick the field goal. Like, kick right. The field goal. I was like, you cannot lose in regulation if you kick the field goal. If you don't get the first down, you can lose in regulation. If you got the first down, the game was over because they only had one timeout and you run the clock out.
Okay, so you just said that. You said that, and you said that to your buddy, right? Now imagine this. Imagine Mike Zimmer had a hot mic, right? A hot mic that he did not know was on. It's his little coaching side. Or he was standing next to a player who was mic'd up for the game, and he went to – who's your offensive coordinator?
Well, we had Stefanski last year. He moved over. We have the old Gary Kubiak, the Broncos
okay,
coach.
We'll go Kubiak. Okay, Mike Zimmer, Kubiak, hot mic. They have no idea the microphone's on. Zimmer goes to Kubiak. Yeah, man, but we can't lose in regulation if I just kick the field goal. You would be like, fire this damn dude. You suck.
Right.
If you can't get this fourth
to catch
short,
22.
Get off my sideline. If you dare hurt a coach thinking or talking or in front of his players saying something like that, we can't lose. I know what you're saying, but at the same time, if you heard any of that.
Zimmer should be like, we can get 1 yard. Game's
yes,
over.
Yes, yes, yes. Here's the thing. Because I'm so worked up, you can go ahead and get that. Because I'm so worked up, people, I know I'm going to get caught bouncing around. You can call in. Like I said, if you want to take a particular direction, first and foremost, you know, feel free to call in, text in what side of it caught your attention. But here's the thing. I'm in the back pre-show coffee shop, you know, that is ESPN Louisville. We talk about the punt with 5 minutes to go, right? The punt with 5 minutes to go. Everybody remembers that. Everybody remembers, you got to go for it. You know, oh, my God, you know, 5 minutes. We haven't stopped anybody all day. Listen, if you YouTubed with me during the game, I did do a game watch on the YouTube. Sorry about my language, y'all.
Yeah, I need Zimmer and Satterfield to switch mentalities for last game.
Right. Okay, but that's my point. Yeah, he probably accidentally hung up. We're talking about the punt with 5 minutes to go. And it's like, oh, yeah, in hindsight, it's the worst decision in history. But I say to my brethren, my coworkers, I say, when you're trying to win a game, like a championship, you know, if you're trying to win a game, you go for it. If you're trying to build a program, you punt that ball. 5 minutes, my punter, pin him, get me the ball back. But here's what you do before that. As a coach, building a program, not trying to win a game, build a program that was 2-10 less than 15 months ago. You go to your defensive coordinator. You go to your defensive coordinator in front of his defensive leaders. And you say, Coach Brown, what you think? Coach, punt it. We'll stop him. We'll get you the ball back.
You got to trust your defense.
You got to trust your defense. I can't risk giving you – I should not have to risk giving you the ball on the 40-yard line.
From a team perspective, yes. Yeah, like you're building those players' confidence, yes, in the sense that, hey, the head coach believes in us. He thinks we can stop them because they're punting.
And you know who's not building their team's confidence or their players' confidence? Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage and Brian Hall
who says kick the field goal.
That's sitting at home talking about go for it, right? Go for it, go for it, go for it. No, he's building a program.
You're right, because the punt fan the base is sitting there critiquing him when we're going back to your thing. We're critiquing coaches.
No,
but from the player's standpoint, he just built the chemistry. you know, because there's nobody in the locker room saying, "Coach, you know, I think you should have, you know, not punted the ball there." Mm-hmm. Like they're like, you know, good call, coach.
How can I teach accountability to my children if I don't let them, you know, let them decide they want a chance, give them the opportunity, let them screw it up? Now you got to take some accountability, or now and the next decision, you know, that's based on, you know, what just happened is a thing. How my coach, I want to give my defensive coordinator who's been taking heat all season, I want to give him another shot. I want to give him a shot to admit that he doesn't think his guys can stop, you know, can stop a leaky faucet. You know, like, I'm going to give the coach a chance to make that call in front of his players. I need you guys to make a stop. So now, if you don't make the stop, when we get in here, and I'm ripping you all week, because here's the thing. You don't – I've seen it 1,000 times in 1,000 games with 1,000 athletes. You don't punt that ball and you get stopped. You know what the defense is doing?
They don't trust us. Oh,
man. No. In later on down the line at 12 o'clock at night when they're, you know, laying their head, they're laying their head down on the bed, they're saying, that coach don't trust us all. But at the time, they're like, man, you should have, you know, we got some stops. You should. But you're letting them off the hook. You let your entire defense off the hook if you don't punt that ball and don't get it.
Well, yeah, to your point, like, you know, a lot of people are probably going to call in today, this week, want to criticize the defense and talk about how we need to improve there. But the thing is when they go to practice today, the defense is going to know that their head coach trusts them, even though that there's a bunch of other people saying that they don't or that we need to make changes. Well, the head coach proved it with his actions that he believes in you guys as a defense.
No, I'm going to follow that point, but I'm going to take this first obligatory phone call. Lawrence, thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
What's up, Marcus, man? I don't trust this team no more. I don't. Like, I'm starting to understand why we run the ball so much. Because he don't trust the quarterback to throw the ball. You can see that, Marcus. You saw it on Friday night. Simple pass plays up. Any quarterback can make it. This quarterback can't do it. And you saw on the sidelines the look on Satterfield's face. Like, he wants to make that quarterback change so bad. He wants to. But I don't know if you trust his other quarterbacks to make a quarterback change.
Right.
Like, you put Cunningham in there, is he going to do the same what Cunningham doing? If you put Pass in there, is he going to do the same? Be play the same? Like, he wants to. Like, everybody talks about the defense. Well, basically, it's up to the offense to manage that game to make sure you don't put the defense in bad positions. Right now, the offense is putting the defense in bad positions. Nope. Where they got tried to save the team.
Lawrence, man, I agree, man. I appreciate the call.
That felt good. You know, it wouldn't be a Monday after a loss without a call from the bathroom stall from Lawrence on his break.
Right. You know, he had to get it off his chest. Like, listen, we get that. Everybody has their ways of venting, and Lawrence, number one caller, has it ready to go. Okay, so here's the thing, people. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to say something. Actually, what Brian was talking about, he called that criticism. I think that's critiquing. I'm okay with critiquing. You know, this is, you know, get better hair, do that. Criticizing. I'm perfectly okay with criticizing. Now, when you start just blaming, you know, like, my ears perk up a little bit. And like I said, by the time you get to just slander, just – you're just trying, okay, and what I qualify as slander as you just trying to point to something to, LeBron went to game six and he was supposed to be done in five, so he sucks. This comes in from somebody who's hated LeBron for 17 years. Now, when you get to that, then slander, just Rondo and Anthony Davis, they're the ones who won it. LeBron didn't do anything. Like, there's going to be some of that. Like I said, I'm okay with the critique, the criticism, blame, slander. My ears perk up. Looks like everybody wants to get in on the conversation. Dana, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
Marcus, what's going on, buddy?
Nothing much at all. Or everything. Oh, no. Did I lose you? Are they dropping back there, Brian? Okay, let me try this on two.
Dana, give us a call back, man. I guess they left it on talent mode, and I hung up on them. That was my fault.
Okay, I'll get it. CC, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
Hey, Marcus. I'm just calling back. I'm kind of starting to think maybe with Hawkins and Hall, you know, those guys didn't fumble at all last year. Mm. Those perhaps were outliers, you know, whatever could go wrong, did go wrong. You know, it's raining. You know, the field is wet. The ball is wet. You know, and I kind of think maybe Georgia Tech did. They kind of, you know, that's kind of what Jeff Long does is, you know, 50-50 balls and hustle plays and that kind of thing, be extra scrappy.
Right.
And but on the other side, with the defense, the missed tackles, I keep seeing that in my head. I mean, you know, you're running past guys. He's going left. You're going right. They're running the same two or three slant plays all night. And it's just missed tackles. Mm. I mean, you know, it's not like scheme or anything like that. It's execution.
Mm. No. Listen, there's three things, CC. I appreciate the call. There's three things I'll hit real quick based on, you know, what you said. First and foremost, the fumble. Now, I'll tell you this, people. I'll tell you this with 100% certainty. You can roll your eyes now. Believe me later on. But Uncle Maven told you. On the fumbles. That is a natural part of the progression of a running back, a small running back. It happens in everybody's who has potential, but they have a glaring issue. How tough is he? Yards after contact. Can Javian Hawkins, think about this. I'm sure a lot of national people, whenever you bring up the name Javian Hawkins, because you see his name in the stats, you see him up there. You know what Javian Hawkins sees when he types in his name? Excellent NFL, or I'm sorry, excellent college running back, maybe too small to get the extra yards. Receiving, we don't know. So what do you do if you're Javian Hawkins? You start to get tackled, right? And instead of covering the ball with two hands and falling down, you're trying to prove to these NFL people who you just read about or whose articles you just read all over, you know, the national media, who say he's not big enough to get the extra yard. So now I'm at Georgia Tech trying to get the extra yard every single time. And you know what that fine balance of trying to get the extra yard and just taking the yards I got and falling down, you expose yourself to fumbles. So now, this is a fine little gray, you know, unsafe space. Because we, like I said, everybody, is like I talked about Brian, everybody's going to say, we don't have the running back that gets the extra yard, that falls forward. And at the same time, you know, when you fumble, you get yourself in trouble. It's like, why don't you go down? You're going to get hurt doing that. That's a fine, fine line. That's why I say critique, criticism, blame, slander, or compliment. Another thing. You know what? I'll save that. You know, you made me think about it, CC, but I'm going to save that and I'll give you credit later. I missed.
Ooh, there you go.
The missed tackles.
It's been a problem for a couple of years now. Like, this has been an issue. I think, you know, obviously this is more of a broad thing, not just talking about the tackling. But in general, you know, Satterfield came in last year and exceeded expectations, and I think it set the bar pretty high for this year. And now we're realizing that we still are kind of in rebuild mode a little more than we had originally thought. And, you know, we knew that the defense was the issue when he got here from the start. We knew we had weapons on offense. But here's the thing. I'm not going to put all the blame on just the defense, because we knew going into the year that this offense was going to have to carry us a little bit,
right,
in some games. And for the most part, they're doing enough to get wins for a normal team. But that they need but they're not picking up the slack for the lack of defense. Yeah.
Listen, here's the thing.
Sorry, the phones are ringing. I got to get to them here. Sorry.
Go ahead and grab that one. I will say this. The missed tackles, you know what that's like, people? When you talk about missed tackles, that's like the feeling you get when you're a short guy and you looked at Honest Mahmood and said, man, if I was your size, I would dunk everything. And you assume people want to dunk. You assume people want to tackle and want to hit people, you know? You assume that Satterfield comes to Louisville and says, y'all are defensive football players. Surely you want to be physical and run through people. We're not a team full of very physical, thick-bodied hitters. That's why it's kind of a bring-you-to-the-ground kind of hit. But it's frustrating.
Well, let me ask you this, too, because this point kind of got brought up on Drew's show, and they didn't really talk about it as much as I thought they would. But we talked about how, you know, Satterfield's bringing in a lot of nice recruits mm-hmm. that we think are going to be very good down the road for us. And then we're playing a lot of upperclassmen right now. And when you look at that, the upperclassmen came during a time when we weren't very good at defense right. and we developed a lot of bad habits as a team. Do you think it's almost better to make the switch to the young guys who fit Satterfield's yeah. style?
Listen, we'll get to the substituting patterns. We'll get to that. You will definitely get to that later on in the show. We're going to roll along and get back to Dana. Dana, thanks for joining us on Middays with Marcus Maven. What's on your mind?
What's going on, buddy, man? I know we talked a little bit Saturday night on the stream, and you know what? I'm not going to go in on the defense. I could write a Sigmund Freud-level dissertation on the defense. I'm not going to do that.
Right.
But what I will say is this. On the offensive side of the ball, in regards to the quarterback play, I'm not sure about this, and, you know, you give me your opinion when I hop off, but I think, given the situation, we're kind of stuck with Mikhail right now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I don't know if we've got the horses on the bench to finish the race in a positive manner.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think, honestly, you're better off just letting Mikhail learn with the mistakes he's going to make through the rest of the season, because, I mean, I hate to be negative, but this season – almost is coming into a wash anyway. You might as well let him finish it out and see what he can do. Mm-hmm. And that's just my opinion. I'll go ahead and let you take it from there, buddy.
No, listen, I appreciate that call. There is absolutely no doubt that it's easier to play call when you have it's easier to play call with a variety when you have Malik Cunningham. Like, there's no doubt about that. Like, I know, you know, this guy might be able to get me out of trouble a couple of times. So here's the thing. Again, I presented my Juwan Pass conversation. I presented my Evan Conley conversation. This one is more of a disappointment in his play. Put it this way. Some games, I feel like you're showing that there's a ceiling that we're not going to be able to get through by playing Malik Cunningham. And some games, I say, you didn't make the plays that you're capable of to help us win. I feel like the game before, you kind of showed a bit of a ceiling. I feel like this game, you didn't make the plays. And like I said, there's a difference. And I don't mind going game to game with my criticism, my critique, or what have you.
It's hard to critique a guy too much when he, you know, gets 50 yards rushing and two touchdowns on top of his 230 passing and a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I know
it's hard to pull a guy after that.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I can still criticize. I can critique real good.
Oh, we can definitely criticize.
Yeah, like I said, I don't let numbers scare me away from critique. Jackson, thanks for joining us on 939. Fire away.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So I have twofold what offense and defensively, what they need to do. They need to evolve their philosophy. And I don't expect you have to be true to who you are, but you have to evolve it. And defensively, you and I, we talked about this before after the Miami game. You know, I talked about blitzing. And if you watch that Miami-Clemson game, they clearly have a lot more talent than us. And how do they play Miami? They rush five, they rush six, they rush seven against that team and shut it down.
Let me ask you this, Jackson.
If they do that with their talent, what do you think we need to do with our talent? We can't send three. They need to evolve their philosophy. When in the conference Satterfield was in before, maybe they had equitable or superior talent. But you have to scheme. On offense, I think what they need to do is this. They need to get Mikhail in second and medium situations. We play behind the chains all the time. It's tough for any quarterback to go second down and 10, second and 12, because Sat wants to run the ball every first down. And everybody's sending. If you look at the film, they're sending seven, eight guys on first down because they know we're not going to throw it. They need to throw some 3-5 yard things, get him a second and medium, third and short, and all quarterbacks can complete and do better. But if you get this kid in second and 10 and third and 10, I mean, Tom Brady can't complete passes like that all game long. And you're putting him behind the gun because they're playing behind the chains all game.
Jackson, I appreciate the call, but here's the problem. Satterfield just heard what you said. Right now, Satterfield's over the football office. He's listening. The whole staff is listening, right? And you know what they did? Oh, listen to this. Jackson, they literally did that because you said you see Clemson and Miami and sending guys, right? And you know what they said? They laughed. They said, can you imagine if we blitzed and left our cornerbacks one-on-one with anybody?
I don't think we have the man coverage corners here right now.
We do not. We have one impressive, I'll put it that way.
Ketrell Clark?
Ketrell Clark. One impressive cornerback. Any other name that you're hearing is what we've been watching on, you know, on the defense, right? So, that bring five, bring six.
Yeah, we're talking about our best corner being a guy who played for Liberty last year. Yep. So, you know,
putting one-on-one
coverage, and our secondary is not quite. We don't have the bodies to do that yet.
Right. And then they said, how about the second thing Jackson just said? And listen, I get what you're saying, Jackson. Like, listen, during the YouTube, I'm saying exactly what you're saying, but that's emotional, Marcus, talking at that time. But then you say, yeah, I would love to get Malik Cunningham in second and medium. How do you suggest I do that, right? A five-yard route? Okay, we've been having trouble outside of Marshawn Ford, which is what adjustment did you notice the most in the offense? The connection between Malik Cunningham and Marshawn Ford. That's what you saw. All of a sudden, Marshawn Ford looked like our most trusted wide receiver. He's trying to get those yards you're talking about. But the wide receiver, Malik Cunningham, wide receiver connection has almost guaranteed we'd be in second and long and third and long. I don't want to say incompletions, those lack of being able to complete it on whoever's end is what gets you that far. It's what has gotten them that far behind the chains. And listen, you can't open the show with this statement. You're building a program. You're not just trying to win a game. You're building a program. First down, I have the option to go left, right. That stretch play, people, let me tell you, it has a stretch and it has kind of a straight run. The running back can decide. I'm gonna say this until I'm blue in the face. The running back has split second decisions to see which hole opens up. They can go back and look at the film and see it was there. You stretched when you should have went straight. You went straight. The stretch was wide open. You have to get better at these things, but you have to grow the program. You have to grow your ability to do that. Go ahead.
I'm going to go off what you're kind of saying, and then I'm going to kind of like go against what I say here too. So like I understand what you're saying because you actually see this a lot. Like when you see a team that's in a 2-minute drill, or you see a team that is in a playoff game or something like that in the fourth quarter, you see them play differently. And then you say, you know, we just marched down the field in a 2-minute drill, but we haven't moved the ball all game. Like, why don't we do that all game? You know? And the thing is like when you're in a situation where you're playing to win and you're playing to win every game, like, don't get me wrong, but like going to your point of building a franchise, building a dynasty, you're trying to teach the guys to do the right thing on a consistent basis as opposed to let's stretch the rules here for a game so we can just get this win. You're trying to set – it goes back to like the character and building a foundation of character and all that. But I do have one thing about what I think it was CC or Jackson said about the blitzing more and different things like that. I understand that we don't really have the players to be able to do the blitz, but at the same time, I do think they should sprinkle in a couple more because
no, it's frustrating.
We got to try something. No. What do we have to lose?
Listen, it's frustrating to watch, but again, every coach knows. Any coach that's a good coach that teaches a youth league basketball team or anything, they don't mind both teams knowing the plays because it's about execution. I can tell you, I'm either going to dive left or dive right. My team, offensively, we should be able to run that. You know what I'm saying?
You want to know a good example of this, and a lot of the people in the city of Louisville will understand this reference. St. X football, when they had Glazer as their head coach, they ran the ball every time. They weren't even a threat. They'd have under 100 yards passing every game, but they'd be undefeated for the year. You knew a run was coming, but you couldn't stop it. And then, you know, it was the same thing with Lamar Jackson when we had Lamar Jackson. You know that there's probably a 60% chance that he's not going to throw the ball. He's going to take it down and run it, and you still couldn't stop it.
No, listen. When Coach Satterfield shows up day one, he says, when it's third and three, I want to know who I can run it behind because that's who I'm going to keep running it behind. And he's telling you that. And every coach will say that. I get your frustration as a fan every time we see something like that. You know, but don't let that, you know, blind your vision to what's really going on. Let's try to get that one before I hit this commercial break. One other thing, and I'll just say this as a big picture thing. This is one takeaway. If you ask me what I take away, Louisville doesn't make a good catbird seat.
A good what?
Louisville is not built for the catbird seat. What I want you to do, I'm going to take this call.
We're better playing from, you know, the underdog is what you're saying?
I want you to look up the Wikipedia definition of catbird seat. I'm going to take this call. Jerry, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
Hey, Marcus, thanks for taking the call. I haven't had a chance to call in lately, but I sure listen every day and enjoy the show, and you guys are doing a great job.
Appreciate it.
Oh, man, we appreciate listening to you every day. So, hey, here's my point real quick. You know, there's probably a lot of things about the football team we can point out right now, you know, the defense or the quarterback or whatever.
Right.
And it's probably all true. But another aspect, and I don't mean to, like, turn this political or anything like that, but I couldn't imagine another team in this country that's had to deal with the distractions around the community and stuff that our team has had to deal with this summer. And I'm not saying that's all the problems, but I could see where it could be just – enough of a distraction, the outside noise and stuff, that it could just, you know, these are kids we're talking about, 19, 20-year-old kids, and it could be just enough that you're not 100% concentrated. You know, you drop a ball here, you miss a block here, whatever, and it all just kind of adds up. And I think our coaches are doing a great job, and I think we're rebuilding, and I think the future is bright, and that's really all I got. Have a good one, guys.
No, I appreciate it. Here's the thing. It can be valid, and we can choose to talk about it or not talk about it, or we can just acknowledge it and talk about the things you can control, which is what you talk about in sports, is what all the coaches talk about. Brian, I'm listening.
You want the catbird seat?
I do want the catbird seat.
So the catbird seat is an American English idiomatic phrase used to describe an invaluable position, often in terms of having the upper hand or greater advantage in any type of dealing among parties. The phrase derives from the common catbird's habit of making mocking calls from a secluded perch.
The catbird seat, people. Louisville is not built for it. They are just not built for it. And that's something I laughed at myself when I thought about it. I've said it from day one. The traditional Louisville fan needs a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, we don't need no catbird seats. We need cardinal bird seats.
Right. Listen, the chip on the shoulder, the underrated is.
You're right, though.
Yeah. It's necessary because here's the thing. Just look at the energy other people are bringing, and you can make that into something. I could make those. Okay, Malik Cunningham scores a touchdown. He gets up. Dez gives him a little, you know, a little chest bump. Maybe somebody taps him on the head. And guess what they do? start jogging over to the sideline. We went up 14-7. Malik scores, diving in the end zone at the corner. They barely even celebrated, and they jogged. Louisville can't play like that. They can't win like that on a consistent basis. They can't play like, oh, there's, you know, let's go. Got me a touchdown. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. And people,
well, I feel like we've always kind of played that way. And when we do get some of our biggest wins is when people have doubted us. You know?
Oh, 100%.
We may have been the better team even going into the game, but people weren't giving us a chance because we were playing a Miami. We were playing a West Virginia. And so we came in as that underdog but pulled off the win. And you're right. We've never done well when we've had the target on our back. And honestly, I can't say we've really, because the one time we did have our target on the back was when we brought in Lamar after the Heisman.
Right.
And, you know, it didn't go as well as anybody thought it would.
And fans hate it. Fans absolutely hate going in there with the pressures on us. Quick commercial break. Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Yo, Pierre, you want to come out here?
You're listening to Middays with Marcus Maben, broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Coming out of the break, West End Mike, thanks for joining us on Middays with Marcus Maben. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, man? How y'all doing?
Feeling good.
Hey, look, so, you know, I don't know, I call in very seldomly, but I always listen. I always do the catch-up on SoundCloud, but I used to live in Columbus. We're from Columbus to Austin, Texas. Now I'm in Indy.
That works. So,
yeah. So, but I don't know how much football y'all covered, and I'm going to tell you, I was so disgusted Saturday, and I haven't had a chance to listen to the first hour, so forgive me if I repeat anything you already talked about. But the one thing I just wanted to say was, you know, as mad as I was Friday night, I found myself, you know, being a little bit comforted knowing that, you know, I'm not going to give up on Satterfield. I'm not going to give up on the coaching staff. I don't think it's smart for us to give up on the coaching staff. It's a lot of things. Like, to me, what I see that stands out the most, and y'all may have discussed this to me, is, you know, we have issues with our defense.
Right.
We have an inexperienced offensive line, that was full of potential, and I just think that Malik is just kind of overthinking things. Mm-hmm. And I feel like once those things link up, it's not like we're super horrible. We got some discipline issues. We got some issues that we need to work on. But for the most part, I feel like we will be okay. So I just wanted to – I'm hopeful. So I just wanted to call and say, hey, West End Mike is hopeful. So that's all I needed to say today, man. Thank you.
No, listen, I appreciate the call. You have got to get that out into the atmosphere sometimes. No, because here's the thing. I heard Drew say it. I've heard Mike Greenberg say it. And here's, they say it often. And I used to nod my head every time they said it. They would say, I'm going to butcher it, but it sounds something like this. whether or not you're pessimistic or optimistic, it costs the same. Whether or not you want to be optimistic or pessimistic, it costs the same. I used to nod my head, be optimistic. Then I realized, no, I think I disagree with that. I think being pessimistic costs a lot more than being optimistic. You want to know why I thought that? I was thinking the stock market crashes because of pessimism. Ticket sales plummet off the face of the earth because of pessimism. People stop supporting society because of pessimism. Pessimism had everybody buying hundreds of rolls of toilet paper on day two of the pandemic. That was pessimism. That caused problems. That cost a lot.
Pessimism is the fan who doesn't show up after you start 1-3 to the next game.
Right. Listen, and then wonders a couple years from now why their school doesn't have the facilities and the program that they need because they got pessimistic. Pessimism is expensive.
I agree.
It's really, really expensive. So, yeah.
Winning solves problems, too.
That brings some optimism. So this is where I'll go with this now. When you talk about what you saw, I just got this one to the YouTube. I know we're building a program, but are we doing it the right way? Georgia Tech is also building their program, and they beat U of L by 19. Now, Friday night, we lost by 19. Monday morning, we got some things exposed about our defense, some things that we needed to get exposed. Because here's the thing. What if they don't score that last touchdown? What if you just you're up five or you're down five, they finish the drive off, you lose by,
12-13.
Right. And you remember what happened. It doesn't feel, you're not even thinking about the 2-10 defense. You're absolutely not thinking about a 2-10. That last touchdown added two more years to the rebuild in people's mind. And you know what that did? That made them pessimistic. That made them like not being able to process the damage that three fumbles does makes you want to make a quick synopsis of the big picture. It makes you want to think about records, end of season records. It makes you want to look at finish lines. You're looking for where's the finish line at the end of the year? Where's the bowl game? How long is it going to take me? I was feeling like, the goal line was going to be in a year. I was going to be right there in a year getting ready to go play Ole Miss in next year's opener and returning to, ACC, top tier prominence. They did a great job this morning of acknowledging games come down to a few plays, but your emotions are so big picture emotions. One play here. Again, Javian Hawkins, uncharacteristic fumbles. I can tell you, Javian Hawkins is trying to get the extra yards. But I also can tell you, when Javian Hawkins is on the ground, laying on a player, he's not really in full lock down, lock the ball up mode. Is that somebody we're going to have to take, Brian, before we be all? Is that somebody we're going to have to take before we get out of break? Yeah, I just didn't want to run the time and miss him on a break. So, So let me. Yeah.
No, you're good. Yeah, that was my fault. I got to talking to him for a sec.
Let me jump to Keith. Thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
Hey, guys. I'll tell you what. I am not in a panic mode. I'm disappointed, but I'm not surprised. And I don't think we should be, because the last two recruiting classes for, Bobby Petrino is a illustrious defensive coordinators he hired, those last two ones, Brian Van Gordon, the other knucklehead, we're playing with their players on defense right now. We didn't recruit at the level we needed to with those guys. We expect that these new coordinator and this new coaching staff to come in and make something out of nothing, because he did last year. But those guys were actually the previous coordinator. I've slipped my mind on who he was.
Grantham.
Yes, thank you. He recruited those guys. And then, you know, we are in a total rebuild. He's not vanilla on offense. He's already proven that. He proved it all last year. The fake field goal and the punter, I mean, the kicker throwing an intercept or a touchdown pass in North Carolina State game.
Mm-hmm.
The fake punt in this season so far. The Pfeiffer throw, it's not that. We just don't have the horses. These guys are smaller and not quick enough on defense. He's got the skilled players because that's what Bobby recruited. But the rest of it, we're just going to have to be patient. We're in a total rebuild, and it's going to take a few years. I know we're not patient, and the Tools Gold of last year, that's probably the worst thing that could happen to Scott Satterfield's staff. But it also proved they know how to teach, because those guys tackled better last year. They flew to the ball last year, but we don't have that player anymore. So,
I'm
with Keith.
Yeah, Keith, I appreciate the call. It's a perfect this is a, I don't want to say perfect jambalaya, but your defense, if you start out with the base of your soup, of your jambalaya soup, your base flavoring is undersized and speed. What you're looking at is a bunch of weapons that were brought here to be specialty guys. This guy's fast. He can do this right. Bobby says, okay, or, you know, I can use this guy in this way. But here's the thing. So when, YouTuber, when you say Georgia Tech rebuild, or let's just say Georgia Tech has more people conducive to running the ball already, or let's say another team has more football players instead of weapons. We have a team full of weapons. I'm going to talk about some of those individual things. We're going to get into the grading, which is always the best part of a Reaction Monday. Grading.
Real quick, I think the point, though, that Keith made, it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about how we're playing a lot of upperclassmen, and they developed some bad habits under all the coaching changes and different things going on, that we'd almost be good to maybe get some of the young guys a little bit of playing time. Maybe not just, you know, completely ditch the older guys.
Right.
But get these young guys in there, because they were brought in to play Satterfield and Coach Brown's style of play.
Right.
And not let the bad habits rub off on them, the bad tackling.
They're more likely to be more football players in the younger groups than the weapons. We are rolling along. Grading is coming up next. Get ready. 815939 is going to be your number to call in or text in. 3831939. YouTube channel is also up and running. Actually, the YouTube channel is just showing the hallway. So if anybody is ever wondering who's milling up and down the hall during the show, you get a different angle today. Midday with Marcus Maybe, rolling along on 939 The Ville.